It's NHL Fantasy on Ice, an NHL Studios production with Rob Reese and Pete Jensen.
What's going on, everybody? Week 8 waiver wire pickups edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Back with you after the Thanksgiving holiday. Robbie, hope you had a great time with your family. Great to be back with you, man.
Yeah, likewise. It was a great holiday. Got some rest, caught some good hockey, and we are also joined by James Harding, and we wish you had a good holiday as well, my friend.
I did. Excellent holiday, seeing a lot of family, and I won both my season-long matchup in my Keeper League, and I won a DFS matchup in my DFS League. So, I had a pretty good weekend.
We should mention that, right? James is doing one of those season-long DFS contests with some of his buddies. So he's actually building a DFS lineup of his own every single day of the season. I think of game days with more than like two games. So definitely, if you haven't already, hit up James for some DFS tips, because he's like totally ingrained in it, right? So he knows all those single game trends, and that definitely translates to the waiver wire as well. We were having some banter before the show, guys, right? Are we looking at Zach Kassian as a real must-add player across the league? Michael Bunting is another one. What are your thoughts on some of these top-line guys, James?
I mean, anytime that you're able to get a guy who's got exposure to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you have to jump on that, and that's exactly what Zach Kassian has right now. 4 points in his last two games, a goal, three assists, six shots on goal, four hits for those guys who, you know, are in bangers leagues. But he was playing pretty decently away from McDavid and Draisaitl before this game, or before this last two games. In 14 games, he had 5 points. He had 45 hits. So he definitely has a lot of value standalone in those more bangers leagues that we talk about right now that count, you know, hits and pims, shots on goal, block shots, stat categories like that. But now you add in the physicality, and you add in the fact that he's on that line with McDavid and Draisaitl. And, you know, we've seen him in this position before, and he has produced. I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain it. I think at some point they do go back to Jesse Puljujärvi in that spot. But for now, you know, he is a Tom Wilson-like player in that, yes, he's very, very physical, but he also has some skill when you put him with elite playmakers like McDavid and Draisaitl.
So when I go back to 2019-20, and when Kassian got promoted to the top line in that season, he had 17 points in that 21-game span with 43 shots, and his shooting percentage was actually 21%, which definitely signifies that he was playing with McDavid and Draisaitl. I would expect that to continue too. I agree wholeheartedly with James here that right now you have to go by what Coach Tippett does with the deployment. If you were a Jesse Puljujärvi owner, yes, he scored in their most recent game. He had six shots, but he only played 13 minutes. Kassian, on the other hand, played 18 alongside the top duo in the NHL. So if you're a Puljujärvi owner, I would make that switch, Petey. In terms of sustainability, I also agree with James here. It's a yo-yo with those lines. I think Kassian probably gets maybe the month of December to finish out here with those guys, but don't be expecting this to happen the remainder of the season.
And if you're talking about these couple of guys and you're in a really deep league and these guys are no longer available because that's how your league rolls, there's also a new top liner in Washington with, I know you mentioned Tom Wilson. He always seems to find his way back onto that line, and he's been amazing. But this Protas kid for the Capitals had two assists the other day and then scored his first NHL goal. I know we've been talking a lot about some of these young guys who have stepped up to the plate and delivered in a couple game spans, whether it was McMichael or LaPierre before he was sent back to juniors. But this is another guy. I don't even know if he's 1% rostered. So if you're in the deeper leagues, hit him on your watch list and keep a close eye. He's only center eligible, but he's playing right wing with Ovi and Kuznetsov for a few games now.
And to think about Protas too, I mean, James, I know you were having him in your DFS lineup for a few nights in a row, which I wholeheartedly agree with that too. But I think if you're a season long player, you should pick this guy up. I mean, he's playing 16 minutes a game. PD mentioned the stats, but he's 6'6", 230 pounds. He's bigger than Tom Wilson. He can play physically too. And that top line, Ovechkin is probably the leader for the Hart Trophy right now in the National Hockey League. Kuznetsov is having the best bounce back season as far as I can remember the last couple years in fantasy hockey. So you get the exposure there. You get the ice time. And think about the Caps just quietly. First place in the NHL with half their lineup on the shelf. Nicklas Backstrom hopefully returning soon. So Protas likely to stick on that top line for the foreseeable future.
I'm really interested to see what they're able to do with this kid. Like you said, I mean, he's a big physical body, you know, 6'6". We're going to talk about a guy in a few minutes here for the Buffalo Sabres who's playing on their top line, who's 6'7". So, you know, like we got the power lineup in tonight. But, you know, you look at him and he looks like he would be the prototypical guy that you would want on Alexander Ovechkin's wing, because he's that, you know, big net front presence. But he can shoot, and he's got skill to his game. He obviously is now being given a little bit more of a cushion to go with. You know, he's got 3 points in his last two games. All 4 of his points so far in the season have come in his last 5 games. So, you know, he's starting to just get a little bit more acclimated, but he went from averaging under 13 minutes a game 5 games ago when he had assists, it was 940. And now in 4 games on the top line, he's been almost 18 minutes in 3 of those games. So with the usage, it's coming that, you know, the production is going to get there. He's getting more comfortable. And like you said, I mean, he fits that mold of being the Tom Wilson player. It's actually somebody, I think if he was on another team, Tom Wilson wouldn't want to fight just because of how big he is. But he's one of the, you know, 1% rostered right now. So why not take a flyer on a guy like this? And he's somebody you absolutely have to be hammering in DFS lineups if any night that he's playing.
Definitely. It is pretty amazing that Tom Wilson has 22 points in 22 games this year. So I would say there's a good chance that Protas won't like stick for the rest of the season without any bumps, because I think, you know, young player, and Wilson has just been so good. And Robbie mentioned Ovechkin's dominance. I mean, he is the number one fantasy player this year, ahead of McDavid and Drysdale. He actually has more points to date this Monday morning. I think he's played 2 more games, but he has more points than Connor McDavid. So let that sink in. No Backstrom, no Oshie, no Mantha. Pretty unbelievable. You know, sometimes we throw that word around, but this is vintage Ovi right now. And yeah, for the betting market, it's not just a 2-horse race for the guys for the same team. Like Rob said, it's a serious contender in Ovechkin in the later stages of his career, but he ain't slowing down.
No, he's going for that record. He's in prime form right now. Good to see it in fantasy. Let's talk about another hot team here, the Toronto Maple Leafs. They played on the road last night against the Anaheim Ducks. I picked up Ricky Racks before that game, but I think I should have picked up Kerfoot or Michael Bunting, James. What do you think about either of those two guys?
Well, it's kind of the same thing that we talked about with Cassian a few minutes ago. You know, when you get a player who's got exposure to elite playmakers like the Maple Leafs have in their top 6, Bunting is skating on that top line with Matthews and Marner, and we know how good Matthews and Marner are together. And Kerfoot is skating on that second line with Tavares and Nylander, and we know how good they've been the last few seasons together. So right now it's the same thing. If you can get any exposure whatsoever to one of these elite top sixes, you kind of have to jump on it. Kerfoot and Bunting, they're both tied for 5th on the team with defenseman Morgan Riley, 14 points. You know, Tavares leads the team with 22. Then I think Nylander's at 21 and Matthews and Marner are at 19 each. And then you hit Bunting, Kerfoot, and Riley at 14. Kerfoot is 5th on the team in assists right now with 10. So, you know, he was never very much of a goal scorer, but, you know, he was a great passer, and you're seeing that right now on that line with Tavares and Nylander. So I would be jumping on either one of these guys, and especially you know, a guy like Bunting, who brings a little bit of physicality as well, probably not as much akin to that of like a Wilson or a Zach Kassian, but I think you have to jump on these guys, any of them, when they get such exposure like this. I mean, this is four guys that we're talking about right now who are widely available in Yahoo leagues and any, probably any league wherever, you know, you play your fantasy hockey, who are sitting on lines with players who we would say are top 25, top 30 players, all of them that they're playing with. So, you know, you have to jump on these guys right now and ride them while they're hot. This is where streaming spots in deep leagues come in handy, because you can pick guys like these up, and then the minute that they get cold for a game or two, you drop them for somebody else.
Yeah, for sure. And just to give Raquel a shout out, points in three of his first four games. You know, he brings hits, not as much as last year based on the early sample size, but still, you know, a guy that throws the body around here and there in addition to scoring. And he's playing on an underrated line with Trevor Zegras and Sonny Milano. Zegras has been well better than a point per game over his past 10. And then Sonny Milano, one of the hidden gems around the league. We've thrown his name around on this show a couple of times in passing, but just so people know, the Ducks' second line is worth monitoring, just because Zegras is starting to get going back into that Calder race that we predicted. But yeah, Raquel is a guy that is kind of tried and true over the years, because right, that team has been so bad in recent years, but he still has maintained some fantasy relevance in bangers leagues.
Yeah, I picked him up in favor of Jesse Puljujärvi. I had four Edmonton Oilers on one squad, and I just felt like I wanted to kind of diversify the schedule a little bit. Anaheim's always one of the teams in fantasy that the tried and true fantasy players like to stream from, because they play on a lot of off nights, meaning they play on like the lesser game nights, like Wednesdays, Fridays, stuff like that. So you get a little bit of a schedule boost there. I guess my concern, gentlemen, about the Ducks is they've lost four of their past five. It's kind of the time of year where trends start to shake out in the NHL. And maybe the Ducks are going to be on the outside looking in of the good trends here, but their schedule in December, they've got a ton of games the second week. So if you did pick up Ricard Raquel, I would hang on at least through that stretch, but they're against very, very formidable opponents. So just be a little bit aware that you might not be getting the long-term rest of season value as we kind of thought you might from the Anaheim Ducks just 2 weeks ago.
And Rob's favorite goaltender, Anthony Stolarz, had a shout out the other night. I just want to throw that one out there. But the other thing too, that you have to remember with Raquel is, you know, he's in the patented Rob Reese contract year. So we have to see kind of, you know, what he does the rest of the season. And with where the Ducks are right now, he also might be a prime candidate for them to move once they get closer to the deadline, if they start to fall out of contention and they think that they're not going to be able to afford him. You know, I mean, I think he's only making about $3.5 million a year for a guy who is a former, you know, elite goal scorer in the league, you know, multiple time 30 plus goal scorer in the league. Somebody's going to take a shot on him if the Ducks put him on the market. A contender is going to take a shot on him. So, you know, you're going to see potentially, if the Ducks fall out of it, Raquel be a prime candidate to get moved to a contender at the deadline. And then you have to jump on him.
Absolutely. I think he has enough of a pedigree where I wouldn't even think twice when I saw he came back from injury and he had a point in his first game. That was really all you needed to see, that he was back somewhat to his previous form. Raquel, the guy that you mentioned earlier, big body, James, Tage Thompson for the Buffalo Sabres, try eligible in Yahoo fantasy leagues, which you love. 6'7" centerman playing with Victor Olofsson and Jeff Skinner, who are putting up some decent numbers, even as the Sabres have come back down to earth a little bit here. What do you like about Tage Thompson, other than the fact that he's leading the Sabres in goals and points right now?
I mean, it's these guys that are on bad teams that are being given just expanded opportunities and just taking it and run, you know, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see. He fits the mold of what, you know, would be a number one center. I mean, he's big, he's physical, he shoots, he scores. It's going to be interesting to see how that lineup shapes out once they get a guy like Alex Tuch into that lineup and where he slots in. And, you know, if Peyton Krebs ever comes up and where, you know, he slots in. But right now, there are some guys on Buffalo, even, you know, a team like Arizona, there are some guys, Seattle, there are a few guys who have fantasy value, even though they're on bad teams. And if you have the ability to go out there and get that exposure, yeah, plus minus, you're going to get killed. I mean, you know, and it's just what's going to happen because they're just not on good teams. But if a guy like Thompson is going to go out there this season and score, you know, 55, 60 plus points as the number one center for the Buffalo Sabres, that's something that's fantasy relevant. And it doesn't matter what team he's on. You can't, you know, shy away from a guy putting up those kind of numbers, regardless of the situation that he's in. And right now, it just seems like they're perfectly content with letting him grow and, you know, just be a player that they can build around. You know, and he's finally getting a shot that we'd never seen him get before. You got to remember, too, he came up through the St. Louis Blues organization. They were very high on him. Then they traded him to Buffalo. Buffalo has been very high on him for years, but they had Eichel and Reinhart in front of him. Now there's nobody in front of him, and he's finally being given, you know, that opportunity. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, so obviously he had skill coming out. Now they're just giving him the ability to say, you know, go show us what you got.
Well, I'm really impressed, too, with the Sabres in general, just being ahead of Ottawa and Montreal, two teams I don't think that were billed to be this bad. Obviously, Montreal with a big front office shakeup over the holiday weekend as well. So something maybe to keep an eye on there in terms of player personnel and everything.
Trade everybody.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you might as well. No, I actually cut the cord on Nick Suzuki again in my season-long league, and I have the commissioner texted me saying that I am banned from picking him back up for the third or fourth time. So that's another developing storyline in my fantasy leagues. But in terms of Tage Thompson, I'm totally with you guys. I think you have to take a look at this player. You have to stream him. I will say it's a bit disappointing, I think, organizationally for Buffalo that Casey Mittelstadt got injured in his first game of the season. He was a guy, I think, that really could have taken that number one center role, ran with it, put up some big points as well. But luckily, they had Tage Thompson there waiting for an opportunity, as James alluded to. You give him the ice time, he's getting a lot of shots on goal. He's north of 60 in that category right now. You like to see that. And I think, to your point, there are guys that on these bad teams, they're going to give you value. And last season, the only thing that I think you already touched on this, James, but you know, Sam Reinhart, their leading point producer last year, was also a minus 28. So in a shortened season. So just something that, you know, if that category is an anchor for you and weighing you down, you probably don't want to go too heavy on Buffalo. That should be an obvious statement. But Tage Thompson for now, if you're in a deeper league, definitely worth streaming.
And I think Mittelstadt, when he comes back and Tuch is there, like, they're going to have a pretty decent top six. And when you look at the fact that they have had, they've earned points in more games than they haven't this year, 11 out of 21. That's a heck of a lot better than any of us expected. And even as they've tapered off a little bit, now you see again, points in two straight, including a win against the Habs. So, like, I feel like this team, as they get reinforcements over the course of the season, could actually turn into a nice surprise. The problem is they're in that division where you could pretty much already cement the playoff spots from the Atlantic Division as of today, a couple of days after Thanksgiving. So that's the problem with Buffalo. It's going to be baby steps. It's going to be building over the next 2 or 3 years, but maybe Tage Thompson is a part of that as a big body and emerging star here, at least for a bad team. And I mean, I've just been really impressed by him. When a guy can put up a career season when the expectations were crazy low and kind of emerge from the pack with the negative storylines of the preseason, you just got to give a lot of credit to the player in Thompson, who a few years ago was playing at UConn, not a place that you always see NHL talent emerge from. So I wanted to give him a shout out for that.
And it's impressive too, just that organizationally, like, this is the most positive I think that it's looked for Buffalo in a long time. And when you go back to last year, obviously when they brought in Taylor Hall, we were thinking, oh, this is what they needed, yada, yada, yada. And it wasn't. Now you see a lot of these young guys coming onto the scene, playing really well. And I think if you're a Sabres fan in a great market upstate here in New York, you really have to enjoy what you're seeing right now of the Sabres early on so far this season.
And then one other team I wanted to mention close to the top here, New Jersey Devils. And speaking of underrated lines and teams in general, I mean, their second line right now, we talked about Dawson Mercer a couple of shows ago, the underrated rookie, but now Andreas Janssen and Jesper Bratt had monster games against the Philadelphia Flyers, who have completely gone into the tank over the past couple of weeks, as Robbie expected. Nobody should be surprised by that, but the Devils are putting up big points here. And I actually picked up Jesper Bratt in one league last night after the 3-point game.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we all expected that. And I think I said at the beginning of the season, when you're going into the season with your goaltending as Carter Hart and Martin Jones, and you thought your goaltending got better, there's probably a problem there. But you look at this Devils team. I mean, you know, these guys are good. You know, in the Dougie Hamilton situation, and what are they going to do when Hughes comes back? I mean, like they're playing this well without Hughes right now. What are they going to do, you know, when he gets back into the fold? But you know, Brad Janssen, Igor Sharangovich, you know, he still has one of the best names in the NHL. Dawson Mercer, you know, these guys have been just monsters over the past week. Even Nico Hischier has, you know, been playing really well over the last handful of games. You know, he's gone cold a little bit over his last five, only 3 points, but you know, he had that stretch of about 6 or 7 games where he scored a, you know, in all but one of them. And yeah, so I mean, this is a deeper team than anybody really expected so far. And they're one of the surprises of the season. And all of these guys are super widely available still. I mean, Brett, 23% rostered. Andreas Janssen, 8% rostered. Sharangovich, 6%. Mercer, 14%. Nico Hischier is still only 26% rostered. So, you know, we talked so much about Hughes going into the season and how we thought, you know, he was going to have this huge breakout year. And unfortunately, when he got hurt, he looked like he was going to actually be the guy that we, you know, thought he was going to be. He's only 72% rostered. And the other day, Lindy Ruff said that, you know, he's getting close to coming back. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how they shake out that top six. And if they move that, you know, Mercer, Janssen, Bratt line down to like the third line, or if they try and fold Hughes in somewhere as a winger, maybe on like a line with Hischier and Sharangovich. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how the Devils shake this top six out once Jack Hughes comes back. But I mean, you want to talk about a really, really surprising team of guys, you know, young guys who they're saying, yo, just go out there and play and let's see what happens. And they're actually playing really good, really disciplined hockey right now.
Well, Mercer, I mean, he's climbing up the Calder leaderboard too. I mean, in terms of rookie scoring, he's got 14 points in 19 games, and he's a plus 12, which is ridiculous on that New Jersey Devils team, which deserves a lot of praise. I think Mackenzie Blackwood and Jonathan Bernier have been an absolute stud duo for them. Blackwood does not get enough credit, I think, for what he does in net for them. But in terms of your question, James, what happens when Jack Hughes gets back? I'll answer that by saying they're going to compete with Pittsburgh, Columbus, and the New York Rangers for third and fourth in the Metro. There's just no doubt about it. And if you're in a league that only has one IR spot and Jack Hughes has become available for someone that got impatient there and needed points, you should stash him right now. You should pick him up, even if you know miss out on that roster spot for another week. I think when he gets back, as you alluded to, could play a wing. Even if they bump Mercer down, Hughes is going to be a stud. I mean, that guy had 3 points in 2 games, whatever it was, before he got hurt. I think he's going to have a breakout point per game finish here, Petey. So really, don't be shy about putting him on your bench right now and waiting for him to come back.
I would even say, if you don't have Jack Hughes, try to swing a trade for him. Try to sell high on somebody out there, one of these hot starters, Nazem Kadri, Troy Terry, guys like that. I do think the ceiling is high enough for Jack Hughes. And could you imagine if he's on the line with Hischier and Heischer's doing the heavy lifting, and Hughes could fly down the ice playing some left wing like he did a couple times early in his career when the Devils were mixing and matching and when he was struggling to start his career. But yeah, so he does have familiarity playing some left wing, and I think he could I don't think they should touch that line. I think they should keep Janssen together with Mercer and Bratt for the rest of the season. This is like it's a measuring stick, and they've hit it out of the park so far. So yeah, I've been really impressed by that for sure. And speaking of Nazem Kadri, since we last talked, it seems like Kadri just totally exploded the other night, had another point over the weekend. The Avs are playing really well. I know they had a hiccup in Dallas, but overall the Avs are back to normal. They could be getting Nathan MacKinnon back soon. Do you guys agree that Nazem Kadri is a sell high candidate, being where he is, like around the top five scorers in the whole league right now, with that big point streak coming to an end? But still, Kadri has been the toast of the town so far around the league as far as fantasy surprises.
I mean, I don't think you sell high on him right now. I think you have to keep a guy like Kadri in the mix, because he's just playing with that confidence and he's playing at that level that we have for so long expected him to play at, even dating back to the days when he was a Toronto Maple Leaf. But, you know, once MacKinnon gets back, he's still going to be playing on that same line that he's playing on right now with, you know, Burakovsky, and he's still going to be getting exposure to Bowen Byram and Sam Girard, and every once in a while, even, you know, Makar and Taves. The team is just so loaded that I don't think you can get rid of him. I mean, if somebody wants him and they're willing to give you, you know, like a big asset for him, yeah, I mean, 100%, you know, you do it depending on who you're getting back. But I wouldn't be actively trying to shop Nazem Kadri right now, because I think that he has this confidence going forward now, and he's going to carry it forward, and it's just going to be a really, really big season for him.
Well, I mean, if you could get, you know, maybe a Kopitar or someone like that, maybe you consider it. But when you compare the two head to head, like, Kadri's been amazing. He's got 27 points. If you're in a league that counts hits, he's obviously a beast in that category. Faceoff wins, he's been incredible as well. His shooting percentage isn't even that high, so it's not like he's just getting lucky there. He's only shooting 12.5%, just 1% high of his career average. But the thing with the Avalanche to keep in mind, and why I do think you should try and sell high, throw some trade offers out there, is just because when MacKinnon's in the lineup, it's for better or worse, they become a one-line team. And then you're streaming guys like Burakovsky, you get zeros for five straight games, and then he has like a hat trick. It's the most infuriating thing. We just see it every single time. And I think with Kadri, I know he's in a contract year, he wants the big payday, but I think this sample alone is already going to have teams clamoring about him over the offseason, throwing big time offers at him just from this stretch alone, when he showcased that he can be a quote unquote number one center. So I'm kind of with Petey. I don't know if you would be so vindictive to just, you know, throw him out for anybody, even like a Sam Bennett. Maybe I wouldn't do that, but I would try and put some offers out there. See if you can get a big time true number one center. No knock on Kadri. I like the player. I like that he plays with fire and everything like that. But I do think that in fantasy, you know, he's not going to be throwing up these 3-point games every game when MacKinnon gets back in the lineup.
I will say this about Kadri, just to kind of counter a little bit what Rob said about, you know, like the Bangers League aspect. He's a guy who in the past, yeah, we've expected that. But this season, I mean, he only has 15 hits this season, and he has 30 PIMs. But 15 of those PIMs came from that one game when Jordan Binnington swung his stick in Kadri's face. And Kadri's sitting there like, I didn't do anything. Why am I getting 15 minutes? But so he's playing a more disciplined, you know, version of the game that we normally see him play, which is why I think he can actually sustain it this year, because largely for the most part, you know, he's staying out of trouble, and he's not playing that kind of like goonish type of play of hockey that we've seen him play in the past. He's playing more of a physical, refined, you know, Ovechkin style, you know, where he does play that physical aspect, but he is scoring as well. You know, and I think it's him trying to be on his best behavior so he can get that big contract at the end of the year, for sure. But, you know, he's playing a different game this season inside the game that he's normally playing, which is why I think even when McKinnon comes back, they will finally not just be that one line team.
Before we move on from the Avs, can we just talk about Devon Taves real quick? His stat line since returning is 10 points in 9 games, and he's plus 13 over the span. It's absolutely ridiculous. I hope you guys picked him up when we made you aware that he was coming back, because that is a major payday in fantasy.
And there are so many more things to say about the Avalanche, not to mention the fact that people should be getting back in on this team from a future standpoint, because with McKinnon out and all these other guys out at different points, right, all those defensemen were injured at one point or another. Byram just came back from injury and scored a goal in his return, which is great to see. But buy back into this team from a betting standpoint, because they have shown that their depth can hold true, right? Compher, when McKinnon was out, was playing great before his injury. Of course, now Kadri, one of the best players in the league so far. Mikko Rantanen, even if McKinnon goes down, he's played some center. He's now center right wing eligible in Yahoo. We saw a glimmer from Alex Newhook over the weekend. So really a player we've all been high on the past couple of years when he's given an opportunity from Jared Bednar. So, so many things to talk about with this Avalanche team, but I think it's re-entered them into the conversation as deepest fantasy team in the league. Get a piece of them any way you can, similar to the Florida Panthers, who are dealing with injury right now. And another guy's Nichushkin, who's the other line mate of Kadri. And if that line doesn't change, guys, then Nichushkin, who I picked up in one of my leagues over the holiday break, could also be fantasy relevant. He's got a nice string of points going right now.
Yeah, he's up to 8 points in 9 games already. I mean, nice. That is just ridiculous. It seems like everybody just trades off these point streaks on that Avs team, which is a total monster right now. Bowen Byram, obviously, you mentioned on the back end, has been tremendous as well. And I don't know. I mean, we might be getting ahead of ourselves, but it certainly looks like maybe Sam Girard then would be a good trade chip, as we talked about too on previous shows, for a team that needs a defenseman to play 24 minutes a night, which is every other team in the NHL. So definitely a good spot to be in if you are in the Avs front office at this current moment.
Raise your hand if you need a solid defensive puck moving defenseman who plays almost half the game every night. No, nobody. Oh, okay. We have 7 of them.
It is crazy, but I do, before we wrap up here, talk about the goalie position, because that's the one position on my waiver wire that all season I've not been able to find a quality streamer. Even Stuart Skinner now is kind of losing value. He is now on my waivers available, but I would hesitate to pick him up. And I think when you look around the landscape of the NHL, you know, Matt Murray gets sent down to the minors. Obviously he's not been lived up to that hype that he was with Pittsburgh. No surprise there, I guess, because it's Ottawa, but still that position this year has been a really, really tough one in fantasy, gentlemen.
Yeah, I think right now you absolutely have to look. I mean, the guy we talked about, you know, we had the debate last week, Ottinger versus Skinner. If you didn't jump on Jake Ottinger yet, you absolutely have to, because in the last week, his percentage of owner of being rostered in Yahoo has gone up exponentially. He's up to 43% rostered right now. I mean, he's won all 4 of his starts. He leads the league at the moment with a 1.26 goals against average. You know, he's single-handedly turning things around for the Stars at the moment. And then, you know, the other guys that I had on the waiver wire right now, I mean, James Reimer is having just an absolute beast of a season at the moment. 29 save shutout last night against the Blackhawks. That was the key reason why I won my DFS fantasy league last night, because, you know, I put him in and he got me, I think, like 45 points in FanDuel. So, you know, shout out to him. I mean, he's 7-1-1 with a 938 save percentage, and the Sharks are, you know, a lot better this season than any of us were expecting going into the year. I know that makes people really, really happy. And then you have Dave Satriano's favorite goaltender in the world, Alex Nedeljkovic. And he's been on a tear, and over his past seven starts, 5-2-1 with a 9.27. So, you know, there are a few guys out there right now that I think you need to jump on who have staying power with their teams. And, you know, even though Nedeljkovic going into the year, we weren't, you know, really sure if he was going to be able to keep up everything that he did with Carolina last season, he's showing that that wasn't a fluke and that he is that goaltender. So yeah, I would be high on any three of those guys right now.
And James Reimer, like you, James, pointed out over the weekend to me, his road splits are really strong. 9.48 save percentage for Reimer through the first seven such games. So you got to love that in terms of rolling him out regardless of matchup these days. And another guy I wanted to mention, Dan Vladar, a guy that the Bruins let go, and he's playing for the Flames behind Markstrom, but he has near perfect numbers this season, including two shutouts. So he's won most of his games, and he's one of those like exposure to the Flames type players in a deeper league where you may even tap into a backup, a quality backup as your third or fourth goalie. So I wanted to mention Dan Vladar, who's still rookie eligible and definitely has been one of the standouts based on his usage so far this season. And you mentioned Ottinger. A bunch of people asked over the weekend, they're trying to cut the cord on Semyon Varlamov because the Islanders are in a tailspin. Now some of their games are postponed for COVID protocol. So just kind of a disaster start to the season for the Islanders, especially in their new building. So maybe people are shying away, Robbie, from holding on to that Isles tandem. I can't blame them. And I might actually give the go-ahead for Ottinger over Varlamov. What do you guys think?
That one, you know, that's tough. I feel like that's one of those times you end up dropping Varlamov and he rattles off three shutouts in a row. And then you go back to Yahoo comments and everyone's kind of clowning the people that ended up dropping him. So I would probably hesitate to do that. I do think Ottinger is clearly their number one goaltender in Dallas. I don't know why, going back to the start of the season, they had him in the minors. I think, you know, not to be too critical, but that team had a lot of head scratching moments, I think, in terms of personnel usage and deployment. Hopefully they've got that figured out, though. It looks like they've righted the ship there. For Varlamov and the Islanders, you got to be patient. I mean, this is a Barry Trotz coach team. They had a really wonky schedule to start the year. And again, it's like when the Avalanche weren't playing well. I said the same thing about them. You know, put your futures bets in now. This team is going to be fine. Yes, they need scoring. That's been the case for however many decades now since Mike Bossy left the team. Okay, so I think we can push the relax button on the Islanders. I mean, even Sorokin, this guy goes out and has a 9.25 save percentage every game, whether it's a win or loss. So I would probably wait on that one, James.
Yeah, and I would agree. I had at least, I think, three or four people reach out to me with the same exact question of, I have Sorokin, Varlamov, and Spencer Knight, and I'm thinking of dropping Varlamov for somebody. And I was like, why? You know, do you have Sergei Bobrovsky? No, then why are you not dropping Spencer Knight right now? Especially in redraft leagues, I would be holding on, I'd be tapping into the Islanders tandem, and I would be trying to buy low on either one of them if they're out there. But I told a lot of people I would drop Spencer Knight right now in redraft leagues for a guy like, you know, Ottinger or maybe a Reimer. Yeah. But, you know, with the volume, you could sit there and you could say whatever you want to say, but guaranteeing every start for the Islanders over the course of the season, I think, is going to be more positive than negative. And that's kind of been my message, is don't fade these guys just yet. Like, the team has been banged up. I know they've lost, I think, like seven or eight in a row at the moment, but four of those games, half the team that they were icing was an AHL team. So, like, you have to be a little patient right now with what's going on with the Islanders. Once they get back up to full speed, once they get back up to full strength, maybe they go out and make a trade, try and shake up the roster a little bit. I agree with Rob, though. I mean, it's a Barry Trotz coach team. So you just have to give it a little bit of time. You have to trust the system. So I would not break up the tandem for the Islanders if you have them. I would look to drop somebody else if you're looking to make a goaltending move.
So the Isles tandem at the absolute floor for the team is at 908 save percentage, which is like top half of the league still, tied for 16th. So it's only going to get better for the Islanders in the next couple of weeks. I think we can all agree on that. I guess my only scenario where I would make that move and drop, you know, for either a Reimer or a, you know, Jonathan Quick, if he's still available, or an Ottinger, players like that, is if you have a scenario where you have all those underachieving guys, and maybe you can only roster three goalies in your league. I know some people have a goalie maximum, not like me and Robbie, where we can hoard five goalies in one league. But yeah, that's the scenario where I don't blame anybody for, you know, moving away from the Isles tandem. I certainly love buying low on one of those two individually. You can't really buy low on Sorokin because he has been so good even during these tough times, but definitely the buy low window is wide open for Varlamov if you want to pick him up as a third goalie.
Well, it's the same thing with Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, he started the season so poorly, and now he's 4-2-0 with a 9.55 save percentage and one shutout over his past six games. You know, when you have a quality goaltender like that, that has the pedigree, that has a track record, if anyone drops those guys, all three of us on this show are going to be submitting a waiver wire claim for Varlamov if it happens. So same thing, Marc-Andre Fleury owners, you deserve a pat on the back for holding true, sweating out all those early season games. And the same thing will happen with Varlamov too. I'm confident in that.
So James, before we let you go, defenseman waiver wire, I know there's a couple of guys out there. There's a hidden gem on the Kings who's playing on the power play. There's a couple of guys from Columbus. I know Robbie and I picked up Adam Boqvist about a week and a half ago, and he's starting to produce in a big way for Columbus. Who are you seeing on defense for the waiver wire?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned Bowen Byram already, but Sean Durzi, rookie for the Kings, played his first two NHL games over the weekend, got points in both of them, one goal, two assists, all on the power play. You know, so he was running the point on the Kings' first power play unit, which actually, you know, is pretty surprising and says a lot about who he was, you know, skating around. I know they're going to be moving guys up and down, but he did find himself, you know, on the ice with some of the Kings' big skaters, Kopitar and Victor Arvidsson. Arvidsson is another guy from the forwards who I think you should be tapping into right now, because he gets like four or five shots on goal every night, playing in that top six. So he's going to start converting on some of those opportunities real soon. But yeah, I'm Sean Durzi, definitely a guy that you have to mark as somebody to watch. And, you know, Rasmus Dahlin from Buffalo is playing really good right now, and he's under, I think, 60% rostered at the moment. And like you said, from the Blue Jackets, Boqvist and Vladislav Gavrikov, who's been on an absolute tear right now. I think he's got 5 points in his last six games. And so these are, you know, the deeper league guys that you can really tap into. And Rob said, you know, I was texting him about Protas from the Capitals in one of my FanDuel lineups the other day. I had Protas, Seth Jarvis, and Gavrikov, and combined they cost me $9,700. And I had Connor McDavid in the lineup, who cost me $9,800 by himself. So, you know, like these guys that are hidden gems in these really, really deep leagues, or these one or two game streams, if they have, you know, favorable matchups, or in DFS, you got to be hammering these guys right now. And you have to, you know, that this is where those streamer spots in leagues really come in handy, so that you can just constantly add and drop somebody. As soon as they get hot, you pick them up. As soon as they go cold, you cut them.
And Gavrikov in bangers leagues, in his past three games, he's had one game with at least five blocks and another game with at least five hits. He's a total beast in that category. He's logging good minutes for that Blue Jackets team. For the defenseman position, though, I just don't have a lot of interest in these guys. I picked up Dmitry Orlov on Sunday. He scored a nice goal on a power play opportunity for him, which was good to see. But the only guy I would really go for is Alex Goligoski on this list. I think Durzi's exciting, right? He has the draft pedigree being a former second round pick of the Maple Leafs, but we've seen this with those young Kings guys. They get an opportunity, they produce a little bit, and then you're dropping them like two or three games later. I think Goligoski's the only guy I can really say has the pedigree, has the staying power, if you're looking for more of like a 2 to 3 week streamer instead of like a 2 to 3 game streamer.
And it sounds like Drew Doughty is nearing a return from injury, which is great for the Kings' playoff futures appeal. They've survived his absence. None of us thought that that was going to happen. Even if we were high on the Kings entering the season, they've really shocked us in that regard with some of their organizational depth, which hasn't still included Quentin Byfield yet. So some reinforcements coming for the Kings. But yeah, Robbie mentioned it. Clegg, droppable. Now it's Durzi. Soon it's going to be Doughty. So I think the time of these streaming spots for the LA Kings may be coming to an end. But yeah, Arvidsson, how about him getting going on the power play? 3 power play points over his past 2 games. This is a guy that has never really covered power play points in his whole career. His career high is 9, and he's had 3 in a 2-game span. So maybe that change of scenery, boys, is getting him going as a bounce back player. But James, thanks again for hopping on. As always, James is tried and true Monday morning at 8:30 a.m. So thanks again, buddy.
Always great to be on with you guys. I will see you next week.
Looking forward to that. So for James Harding at Waiver Wire James, Rob Reese at NHL Reese, myself, Pete Jensen at NHL Jensen, hit us up throughout week 8 in the hockey season, and we'll be back with you on Thursday for episode 2 this week. Thanks for tuning in.